You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
You're listening to Women in Leadership Podcast, episode 63. Hi, I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross, branded communication strategist, also known as the Podcasting Queen. Welcome to another episode of Women in Leadership Podcast, the podcast that empowers you to reach your full potential. Today's guest has a very inspiring story. She's a mum of three young daughters. She lives in beautiful Tasmania, and she's also a postgraduate student at UTAS studying Antarctic science. She also runs a very small business doing science incursions at preschools. However, her most exciting adventure at the moment is being a participant on the Homeward Bound journey. Homeward Bound is a leadership program for women with a background in science. It's roughly a 12-month program which culminates in an exciting three-week trip to Antarctica next February. So joining me on today's show is Justine Barrett. And today Justine is going to share important things to consider when you've still got your leadership L plates on. Resilience is a lesson we should all learn, and why it's important to just be yourself. Now onto the show. Welcome, Justine.
Hello, thanks for having me, Anne-Marie.
Oh, look, my pleasure. Just reading a bit about you and the program that you're involved in, what's coming up for you is just so exciting. And before we pressed record today, we were talking about how many women don't really see themselves as a leader, yet leadership is all about influencing. And I think you're one of the most influential women, particularly being in a male-dominated industry. You've gone out. You've worked really hard, obviously, and now got this wonderful opportunity in the Homeward Bound leadership program for women.
Thank you. I still don't actually see myself as a leader, so it's interesting to hear you say that about me. Thank you. Yeah. It's very kind.
Oh, no, no.
I feel like I've got my L plates on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, look, all of us can always learn and develop when it comes to leadership. And when we see it, when we reframe it to think, you know what, how I am or who I am, how I show up, my attitude has the potential to influence someone and lead someone to believe, to even think differently, to maybe even question, you know what, do I really have to accept what's going on for me? Or can I take the bull by both horns, so to speak, and follow my dreams and live, you know, what I'm passionate about? I think that's so exciting. Tell us a little bit about the Homeward Bound program. It sounds very exciting.
It is so exciting. It's women from around the world with a background in STEM, so science, technology, engineering, maths, or medicine.
Yes.
And there are 80 of us on this journey. So over 12 months, we started in March, mm-hmm. and the culminating in the trip to Antarctica in February next year. But we've already started with Skype calls and started the journey before we go. At the moment, we're learning about reflection upon ourselves and learning about the importance of making networks. But this whole program, Homeward Bound, is about getting women in science and STEM raising that issue into the spotlight that there's only 20% of leaders in those fields that are women, and there needs to be more. And women bring a different perspective to the table in terms of big decisions for the sustainability of our planet. So it's all about raising that awareness and bringing us all together. And ultimately we'll have 1,000 women over 10 years. There'll be 1,000 women that have been through this program and will be networked to hopefully influence policy, make changes, develop programs. It is so exciting to be a part of. Pinch myself that I'm a part of it.
I know. So the initiative of the Homeward Bound, was that culminated through various organisations across different countries, or is there one organisation? How is it made up?
So Homeward Bound has come from it's a brainchild of Fabian Dattner, who's in Melbourne. She runs a women leadership course in Melbourne, and Jessica Melbourne Thomas, who is a scientist here in Tasmania. And although it's it branches from Australia, there's women all over the world that have been that are part of the program. Yeah, from all different organisations, all different backgrounds, all different walks of life, really.
Oh, amazing. There's many, many incredible, exciting things that come from Australia. And this time, I was just saying to my husband yesterday with things that are going on, this is such an exciting time to be alive. You know, there are things happening in different industries, and I'm just so feel blessed to be living in this generation. The things that we'll see coming in the future are just really exciting. And
absolutely. We're really on a tipping point of some big changes. Big changes have to be made. So it's really exciting to be on the positive side of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that you said in the profile was, I'm not sure that I'm a leader yet. I'm on my L plates, but I will keep pushing until I get there. You've mentioned already some of the things that you have already started studying within the Homeward Bound Leadership Program. When you think about the process that you went through, an application maybe, there may have been some different steps to go through to get into the Homeward Bound Leadership Program. Looking back, were there some things that you did consistently throughout, obviously, your studies and how you approached your work and your passion for what you do? What were some things that you think, and may have been attitude or something like that, that you think was really positive and supported you in getting a yes, we'd love you to join this program? What were some of those things, do you think?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think initially I didn't want to apply because I didn't think that I was good enough. I didn't have those leadership qualities. And I think for many of us, we consider leadership as being, you know, someone that runs a company or, you know, right up there in the community, really influential. And I sort of had to try to remind myself that actually, no, like you say, being a leader is more than that. There's so many more qualities than being influential. As far as my background goes and what I've gained from it along the way, I mean, attitude obviously comes into it a lot, but I also feel like I've got a really good work ethic. I work and work and work. Yes. So I'm not one of those people that are super academic, things come easy to. I know I have to work really hard to get where I'm going. But I don't settle. You know, I don't just become comfortable and that's it. I always keep looking for how I can do things better or, you know, if there's other opportunities, you have to put your hat in the ring to you know, just to have a go. I feel like there's that kind of adventurous spark in me that pushes me to go further.
Yes.
And so that's probably what's got me to this point.
Yeah.
Just really good work ethic and that sort of adventurous, you know, what else is out there? What else can I do sort of part of me?
And I think in the industry that you're in science, and one of the things you said in your profile was it's really a curious, isn't it? Curiosity. There may be a particular way, or there may be something that you're looking, a problem to solve, a challenge. And it's all about being curious, but looking at different ways. Can we do this better? Is there something else that we can do? Is there something that we may not have thought about? And so I think what I really love, and this really brings us to the next point about resilience, which we'll talk about in a moment, it's kind of challenging the status quo. Like, who says it has to be that way? Why can't we do it this way? And then obviously take the steps to kind of see it.
Yeah, that's me all over.
Is that who says that, you know? Yeah. Let's do it a different way. I love
just
that.
Just because he said that doesn't make it true.
Yeah,
just because we've always done it this way, there must be a better way we can do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what I think it was brilliant that you shared about how initially you weren't going to put your hand up or even apply for the leadership program. How many women, I would imagine, are sitting there today thinking about a particular, I don't know, it might be a leadership application or a job promotion or even expanding their business or starting their business, yet their internal voice is saying to them, who do you think you are? Oh, there's no opportunity, there's no possibility, there's so many other people, yada, 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 and on it goes. But really for you, you just silenced that voice and said, you know what, I'm just going to give it a go and see what happens. Is that kind of what you found?
Absolutely. And I think because I have three daughters now, I put myself, I sort of reverse the situation as if it was one of them thinking what I'm thinking. And it makes me go, well, that's ridiculous. You know, if it was one of them saying, oh, I don't think I'm good enough, I'd be in their corner saying, no, you're good enough. You don't tell yourself that. You know, there's amazing things out there that you can achieve. And if you don't back yourself, who will? So I think, that has certainly changed my attitude towards myself. And obviously I still have those days where that little voice in your head gets the better of us. But since becoming a parent, it's made me realise that the potential that's in me, because I see it in my daughters, and made me push that bit harder and back myself a little bit more.
Great. And what an incredible role model you are now for your three beautiful daughters. So wonderful. Let's talk a bit thanks. About resilience, because I think particularly in the industry that you're in, I mean, so many people have come on the show, Justine, and talked about, you know, they launched a new program or they set something up in their business and it failed. And sometimes any form of failure just has us take a step back and sometimes not even get back into the ring. But in science, it's all about, well, that didn't work and that way didn't work, and just keep on going and keep trying. What does resilience mean to you?
Yeah, you're right in that in science, yes. Things often don't work. It is so frustrating, but it becomes part of the training that you do become resilient. I think having resilience means that when you get knocked down, it doesn't floor you. You get knocked down, you sulk for a little while, and then you just get back on your feet. And a favorite saying of mine is Dory's, just keep swimming. And that's really what I live by. I live by the words of a Disney character. But I think that's where that resilience comes into it. You just have to keep going because you will be rewarded eventually.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so when you think about the industry that you're working in, and many women and even have come on the show and have found that if they're sitting around a boardroom, they are one of just a small handful, if not the only female voice around the table. So what kind of, and sometimes it's a matter of stepping back and going, okay, so what am I thinking? For you, it's probably quite natural. But for someone who is at the coalface of having to take that first step forward because she is in that situation, what do you tell yourself? Is there something like, you obviously shared this wonderful thing that keeps you going, Dory's keep swimming. Are there other things that you say to yourself or that you do that have enabled you to just keep pushing forward?
Yeah, that's a difficult one because it doesn't come naturally to me. You know, if I'm surrounded by a whole lot of men, it is really intimidating. I find that much more intimidating than sitting around with women.
Yes.
You know, women I feel like I can relate to a lot more, obviously.
Yeah.
I think though, I think you just have to remember that, you know, if there is an element of that sort of male dominated conversation, it's not a conscious thing. You know, it's we have this unconscious bias ingrained in our society, not just men, in women too. So yeah, in that situation, I that's something that I need to work on as well, because I don't feel particularly comfortable in those situations. But I have found that if you just push through and, you know, try and swallow down your nerves and fake it till you make it, basically, that most people are open to to conversations and your opinion and value what you have to say. And, you know, if you're in a particular room with a whole lot of men, you're obviously in there for a reason. So your voice is valued.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was interesting because there were, and I can't recall who I heard this from or where I read it, but there were certain industries that have been implementing or innovating new products, new services, yet they didn't have a female voice around the table as it was being invented, as it was being put together and, you know, then marketed. And then when it did go to market, they realized, because it wasn't as successful as they had predicted it to be, and then they realized in hindsight that because there was no female voice, no female perspective, there was a huge piece of the discussion that was missing, because there's so many, you know, women were able to give a female voice. Why would we want, I can't remember what it was, like maybe seatbelts or something like that, you know, that when a female voice came to the table and shared openly and honestly what she thought, it then allowed further discussion, further debate, further pulling apart, if you want, of that idea, so that when it was brought to market, it had a whole discussion, I mean, not just half. Have you found that when you're discussing things, that when you just say whatever you need to say without any prejudgment, because this is something that we need to talk about, whether or not the decision is made to go ahead with it or not, but just to share something that it empowers you, but it also allows for a deeper conversation.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there that, women bring a different perspective to conversation, and that's really part of what Homeward Bound is about, is not having women take over the world and say that women are better than men. It's more just having that balance. I think in some cases women don't reserve as much. You know, they're much more honest, and that's certainly one of my philosophies in life is to try and be myself, and I had that advice from my dad when I was quite young. I was going into a very intimidating situation for a scholarship in a cancer research area in Melbourne, and I was a country girl going on the train for the first time by myself. I was 16, terrified. Oh, no, not 16, that was after uni, so I was 21, yeah. And he said, just be yourself. You know, if what you have to say is not what they want to hear, then it's not the situation for you.
Yes.
And, I do think that in some cases women are a bit more open and will just sort of say it the way it is without feeling like, you know, think, what am I trying to say? It's important to get across what you need to say without overthinking it and wondering, trying to hold up your image and that sort of stuff. I think sometimes women are just a bit more flexible and bendy in conversations, and like you say, can lead to a deeper conversation and a bit more meaningful.
Yeah, that's right. And I think sometimes because we tie our personal, and not everyone, I mean, I know I'm generalizing, but I know that if I'm sharing something, particularly if it's got something to do with my business and my craft, if you will, because my craft is who I am, you know, it's what I'm passionate about. So when you get some form of feedback, and that could be seen as criticism, we can sometimes take it personally. And I think that's where, as women and men too, but I think women, we really own this space, when we take things personally because someone has said, you know what, thanks for sharing that, or sometimes they don't say that at all, nah, that's just not going to work, even if you have discussed it, we can kind of then have that shut us down to not want to contribute anything else because we take it personally. But it's not personal at all. It's an idea, it's a thought, and that can be discussed, it can be built upon, it can be, you know, go off in another direction. And I think when we're confident enough to contribute to the conversation and not take the outcome personally, that's when everybody wins around that table, do you think?
Yeah, that's right. And I think that comes back to that resilience as well. And like you say, if an idea gets knocked back, for me, I just put it in the bank and I think, no, that's a good idea. I still believe in that. That'll come out somewhere down the track.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. Now, you mentioned already about an example where your dad said, just be yourself. If you think back to some of the situations where you've really allowed yourself to step forward and your voice and your sharing and just how you show up and in your attitude, what have been some things that have come out of that? Obviously, being invited to step into this leadership program, but have there been other pivotal things in your career or even through your studies that you have really given yourself permission to just be yourself has really been a real solid foundation for you?
The one that I can think of that comes to mind is I was working at a university up until I started my Antarctic studies, where I was a lab teacher for first year science students, and we developed myself and a videographer, we developed videos for students to watch before they come into the lab. Mm-hmm. And I started trying to act all academic, like a professional. And in the end, I just thought, oh, no, I'm just going to be myself because that's who the students know. Mm-hmm. And that's what they need to see. They need to see that familiarity that they see in the lab, in the classroom.
Yes.
And the feedback that I got was brilliant. And, you know, there were some times where I actually, you know, I sang a song or I was just really silly and in explaining things, and because sometimes lab classes can be really intimidating. So in some cases, you know, that if I'm a little less serious in explaining some things, it's just a little easier for the students to swallow. And the outcome of that was that I was invited to speak at a university seminar on ways to connect with students. And as the staff member, the level that I was at, it was really unusual for someone of my level to be invited to speak at this conference. Mm-hmm. So, and I got, you know, brilliant feedback. And even at the conference, I wore a purple sequin jacket, which is, that was my quiz master jacket I used to wear in front of the students when I did a pop quiz.
Yes.
Because I just thought, no, I'm just going to be, there is just so much we all just fall into line.
Yes.
And try and do what everyone else expects us to do. And I think, yeah, sometimes if you sort of stretch out of that and just try and be a bit more creative and show a bit more of your personality, it just, I don't know, that I guess the idea is flowing and the creativity. And, yeah, I've really found that that's been so beneficial for me. And it, at the end of the day, it's good for my soul to just be myself.
Yeah, absolutely. There are so many golden nuggets in what you've just shared, and you might not even realize it. But one of the things that I say to everybody is you really do need to give yourself permission to show up as you, because that is who you are. That is your personal brand. And when you do that with intention, you really start to attract the type of people who want to listen to you and be inspired by you, because you're giving that a voice, but a unique voice, and that unique voice is you coming through. How many times do have students sat in classes and been so bored because the way in which it was presented was very dull and boring, and not putting anyone else down, of course, but because you're bringing a breath of fresh air into how you're presenting, you're communicating well, you're influencing these young students to think, gosh, you know, science and all some of the STEM subjects, it can be really exciting, because I'm sure that there are things that you've shared about how it can be applied practically, you know, so it,
yeah,
in the world
absolutely.
And the impact
that's
it can have.
That's always my attitude towards it.
Yeah.
I think particularly I was teaching first year students, and I think for a lot of those first year students, they've got into a science subject and they're, or a science course, and it's intimidating and they don't know what to do with it. They don't know if they're in the right area or, yeah. So part of my role was to try and get them a bit more comfortable. And I just wouldn't have been able to do that if I had have gone down that, I can't think of the terminology, where you're just trying to fit the mold, basically.
Yeah. If you, this might be a huge question, so, you know, it just whatever kind of comes up for you, there's no right or wrong answers in this show. It's all about conversation, and someone else can pick up from that and then take it to the next level. That's what it's all about. But if you think to the typical science or the STEM subjects, what they have been in the past, because we're talking about disruption across a lot of different industries, and science, I'm sure, is one that is kind of being disrupted too. What would you like to see in the future? Are there things that they can implement, if there are things that they can bring to the table that will kind of excite these youngsters who have got a passion but may not even realise it yet, for these subjects, to enable them to engage more with science? Are there things that can be done, do you think?
Absolutely. I could talk to you for hours about this, Anne-Marie. My major master's project, which I will start next year, is about trying to get Antarctic and marine sciences into schools.
Yes.
There is so much we can do. A lot of the way science is being taught previously, it's been the same for the last 100 years.
Mm.
And there's a very, very gradual change happening. But I think, yeah, what the focus needs to be on is just enhancing that curiosity, especially from a young age, just getting kids to ask questions and then go out to find the answer, not telling them which questions to ask, actually getting them to be curious in themselves. And I think the other thing, as you get up in the levels, I think having more applied science or STEM situations in the classroom is really important. So part of my project will be to get research scientists on board, sharing their information and their stories, and even having some real-time data online for students to access, so they can really be a part of something that's current and relevant.
Yes.
Not being taught that same Einstein physics sort of thing that's just been going around and around for years. And obviously that's important, but from a broader perspective of trying to get people excited about science and STEM subjects, I think that needs to be put aside and just really try and get those curiosity discussions happening. I think there's so much in that we're missing.
Yeah, you know, I went to a presentation up in Sydney, and this was last year, and it was part of the Rare Birds Experience, and there were people there from scientific background, but what they were trying to do was do like computer encoding within different industries. And there was one young fashion designer who was trying to integrate various chips, various technologies within her clothes that could monitor someone's health, which meant that if something was going wrong that needed to be monitored, a little alarm would go back to the computer system or what was tracking to say, hey, your blood pressure is high or something like that. Now, that's just one application, but I think when kids, I remember at school when I was doing maths, why are we doing this? Because it's in the curriculum. Had we been taught, because if you learn this, you can apply it to this and this and this is, then it was like, wow, I never, you know, there's a reason, there's a why. It's relevant. And suddenly it opens up this whole new world of possibility where kids are wanting to learn something because of the prospect, you know, because of what it can allow them to achieve. So it sounds like those kind of stories, people who are in the field, what they're doing, what they're learning, and how they're impacting, you know, whatever industry that they're in, that story continue, that needs to be continued to be shared, yes, by the sounds
absolutely,
of it.
Absolutely, yeah, and teachers, you know, they're trying to get all this implemented, that they want that sort of style of classroom conversation. And I think the lag has been in the professionals, you know, the professional scientists and engineers of getting involved in the schooling.
Yes.
So that's what I think is really critical. You know, we can't expect the teachers to be across everything.
Yeah.
So having programs where students have access and teachers have access to real-time resources and even real-time professionals.
Yes.
To come into their classroom, I think we need that. And there are programs set up to do this. CSIRO has a scientist in school program.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a one-on-one one scientist with one classroom sort of program. So I think having resources that are a bit more available to the bulk of classrooms and teachers, so online resources and perhaps some video interviews with scientists and students can contact them if they need, things like that, I think is what is going to really inspire and engage students in the future.
Yeah, and what's really exciting with the technologies that we have in our fingertips now, there is nothing stopping anybody from picking up their iPhone, creating movies, you know what I mean? We've got technology that we can start to create. We don't need massive, massive investment to be able to do that. So it sounds like really getting industry, people who are already in those fields, getting them connected to various schools and have those resources that can share, have information that teachers can draw upon, whether it be someone coming to the school or even sharing things online that teachers can reference and point their students to. So it kind of sounds like that could be really helpful for them, yes?
Yeah, and I think that almost comes back to the leadership aspect where people that are in science don't feel like what they are doing can be influential. So I think it's about making them realise too that what they are doing is important not only for science, but it could be really important for children across Australia as well.
Well, you know, when I first heard about your story, that was through Bev, and Bev has been a previous client of mine, but I've also had her on the show, and she now helps women tell their story through their own book, writing her own book. And when she shared what you were doing, I thought, my goodness, I have to get you on the show. Number one, I love all of those documentaries with those scientists going to the Antarctica. Oh, just amazing. There's such beauty there. I mean, it's obviously very dangerous landscape because it gets so cold and everything, but just
we're ignoring that. We're just focusing on the beauty.
It is. I mean, are you guys taking camera? Oh, you would do cameras, and the photos and everything that you can get there is just amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm also going to try and do a blog and have that come back to my tertiary students.
Yes,
the ones that I have been teaching previously. Absolutely. Just so as many people as I can, you know, get something out of this experience of mine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So share with everyone, because I know that you now have a Facebook presence that you are going to be updating. So how can people connect with you and continue to follow your journey?
Yeah, we'd love for people to be involved and follow and ask questions. You know, I feel like this whole initiative is bigger than me, and I'd love to share that wherever possible. So we have a Facebook group. I'm working with another scientist from Tasmania, Karen. So our Facebook group, if you go on Facebook and search for Team Tassie, Homeward Bound, you'll find us there. And we also have a GoFundMe page if anyone is considering supporting us financially. That would be amazing as well.
Right.
So if you go to GoFundMe and search for Team Tassie, Homeward Bound as well, you'll find us there. So part of this program is to raise $25,000 each. And even in trying to do that, we haven't been overly successful yet, but it's pushing us out of our comfort zones. And I already feel like I've learnt so much in the short time that we've been on this journey, which has been, what are we now, May?
Yeah.
So in 3 months, I've stepped out of my comfort zone. I've met some wonderful people. You know, I had a couple with Bev the other day. It's, you know, the opportunities I've been given, and even speaking with you and sharing my story, it's really strange for me. It's pushed me out of my little my usual bubble out into this big world, and it's really exciting, really
Yeah.
intimidating and daunting, but so exciting at the same
It
time.
is. One of the things that I love to do to really push my buttons is to often say yes to things, and then go back to my office and go, "Oh my goodness, what am I
Yeah.
doing?" And then I go, "Okay, just settle down. What are the steps? Just follow the
Shoot
steps,
now,
get the
think
thing."
later.
Yeah. That's right. Because let's face it, if we all waited till we were comfortable in saying yes to a decision, we would never get stretched out of our comfort zone. And you know what? How
That's right.
often do we then show up, we step up to the plate, and then we go, "That actually, even though I had a bit of nervousness going on, that was actually a lot of fun. What next?"
Yeah.
You know, so.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think my little trick is that I'm extremely busy all the
Yes.
time, and I don't have a chance to get nervous often. So
Yeah, it's just
I
do
live to the
it.
minute. All right, what am I doing this? I've got 2 more minutes before I have to do something else, and there's not as much time in there to overthink. And
That's right.
I think that's certainly an issue that a lot of us have is overthinking. So
Oh,
yeah,
yeah. Where we can
it's
overthink
one way to push
ourselves.
that aside.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so very much, Justine, for coming on the show and sharing your inspiring story. You are a leader, whether you realize it or not, just
Thank you.
through the inspiration that you have for young students and even women, I think, who listen, and men too, who have listened to you and have perhaps themselves been overthinking and analyzing. What's that saying? Analysis paralysis to the point, just do it. Just put your hand up,
Yes.
and even if the outcome isn't what was expected, you've taken a step forward. Just keep stepping forward, and before know it, you'll be invited to Homeward Bound leadership type programs. What's relevant for other
Bigger
industries,
than your wildest
and
dreams, yeah.
yeah, exactly. Well, thanks for
Yeah.
coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely chatting with you.
Hi, this is Anne-Marie. Have you enjoyed listening to this interview and have often thought about how awesome it would be to have your very own podcast to share your message in a much bigger way so you become known as an influential voice in your industry? But the thought of having to learn all about podcasting technology, the gizmos, the gadgets, well, that just seems too hard. I get it. I recently won the best podcast in Australia in the business, marketing, and entrepreneur category, and I still use a free and simple audio editing software that was so easy for me to learn 9 years ago when I first started podcasting. Now, if you're a purpose-driven, service-based business owner with a desire to make a difference in the world, I've created a special gift just for you. It's my free mini training, Podcasting with Purpose, where I share with you the key things you need to know to stand out, be heard, and influence your audience from your very first podcast. And I'm also going to give you access to my podcast production workflow and no cost and low cost tools, the simple way to help you get started. Now, to access my Podcasting with Purpose mini training, go to annemariecross.com/mini training. That's www.annemariecross.com/mini training. Well, that brings us to the end of another show. I know that you have been inspired just through hearing Justine share her journey. Please reach out to Justine, join their journey by connecting with them on Facebook, and of course the GoFund. Really encourage you to, get behind them and support them on their journey there. If this is the very first time you're listening to today's show, thank you so much. It really has been an honor spending some time with you. We have other inspiring women who come on the show, and we certainly would love you to join us. All you need to do is subscribe to our iTunes channel, and this is also available on Android. To get to our iTunes channel, annemariecross.com/podcast iTunes. annemariecross.com/podcast iTunes. Till next week, have a fabulous one. See you, Justine.
Bye.